Mike Tagubin. Hello, my friend, and welcome once again to a few moments of fellowship together as we look into the truths of the living God. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. O beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ alone can satisfy the hunger of the human spirit. He alone can satisfy that thirst and that longing deep within a person's heart and spirit. How good it is to know the true and the living God, and how good it is to fellowship together in his word. Well, we are back to our broadcast and back to our considering of how that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And we've been discussing why Jesus was born in a stable and laid in a manger. And as we've looked back to the Old Testament and compared it to the New Testament, we've seen the importance of the sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament and how that it was fulfilled and completed through the precious Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died to take away the sins of the whole world and shed his precious blood, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and he gave his life that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, we've been discussing about the Passover and the children of Israel being delivered from Egyptian bondage, and the various aspects of that event, how that they were to take a lamb for per household, and if the household was too small, they were to share it with another household that was small, because they were to eat the whole lamb that night. And they were to roast it with fire. And remember, it was to be a special lamb. Any kind of a lamb would not work. It had to be a lamb without blemish, a lamb that had no flaw about it. It had to be a male of the first year. And it had to be penned up for 4 days to make sure that there was no flaw about it, that it was a perfect lamb that would meet the requirements for a blood sacrifice. The blood was to be caught in a vessel, you remember, when they killed the lamb. The whole congregation was to kill it together at the same time. And then they were to catch the blood, and they were to apply it to the two side posts and over the top of the door. Because that night, the night of the Passover, a death angel was going to pass through the land. And only those homes that had the blood applied, the firstborn, would be protected from the death angel. Otherwise, all that did not have the blood applied would die. And so the blood had to be applied, and then the remains were to be done away with before the next day. And we read this in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 10, "Ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it," that is the bones and so forth, you shall burn with fire. That which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn it with fire. That is, the whole thing had to be consumed and had to be done away with. And so we read here in John 19, and those of you who have a New Testament, you can go to the fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 19, and follow along with us there in John 19, beginning with verse 31. And the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, that is, they were preparing for the Passover and the feast of unleavened bread that began the night of the Passover, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day. That is, it was a special Sabbath day because it was the beginning of the week of unleavened bread. And they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the Scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another Scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave or permission. And he came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which was at the first, to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. That's verse 39 of John chapter 19. And I'm sorry if I didn't give you the reference where I'm reading in John chapter 19. And so verse 39, Nicodemus helped Joseph of Arimathea to bury the body of Jesus. Verse 40, then they took the body of Jesus and wrapped it in linen clothes with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where they crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. They had to bury the body that day. They had to put it away before sunset and the time when the beginning of the Passover. They had to get the body put away. And so we see it was a fulfillment of Exodus chapter 12 and verse 10, that the remains were to be done away before the next day. Remember that the Jewish time is different from our time. Our time begins at 12 o'clock midnight, but Jewish time began at sunset. And so the body of Jesus had to be buried before sunset. That day that he was crucified, the bodies had to be buried and done away with. So again, another fulfillment of Exodus chapter 12 and verse 10. And then let's go back to Exodus 12 again and notice verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So we see again those had the blood applied did not see death. And we've already discussed the importance of having the blood applied, how that those that had the blood applied, the firstborn in that household, were safe. And again, we're reminded of 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And 1 John 1, 7b, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Yes, beloved, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin because it represents the life of Christ. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and medical doctors today will tell you that. Revelation 2:11c, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 5:5, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And thus, beloved, deliverance from the judgment and wrath of God. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What is the second death? Revelation tells us in Revelation chapter 20 that it is the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, of Revelation 20, verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, people that worship idols, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, beloved, that's what the second death is. And what can deliver one from the second death? He that overcometh. And who is he that overcometh? Who is he that overcometh the world? 1 John 5:5, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. It's those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and have had the blood of Christ applied to their lives. These are the ones who overcome the world, and these are the ones who will not partake of the second death. Beloved, I remember so well many years ago, over 65 years ago, when I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as a young lad, accepting Him as Savior, and He delivered me from the bondage of sin. He liberated and set me free. He made me pure and clean in my spirit. He brought me into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that Christ is more real than the life I'm living, and I'm looking forward to the day I'll be delivered from this physical body into the glorious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, to know Jesus is what living, real living, is all about. To have a personal relationship with Him by putting your faith and trust in Him, by accepting Him as your Savior, by asking Him to come into your life, into your spirit, and to forgive you of your sin, to make you pure and clean and holy within, and to apply the blood of Christ, which cleanseth us from all sin. That's what the Holy Spirit of God does, beloved. For God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so I remember so well that day. I didn't understand all about it, but I did know that I was a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I knew I needed a Savior, and I believed that Christ Jesus had died for my sin, that He was buried, and that He arose from the grave. And as a young lad, I cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of my sin. I believe, Lord Jesus, You died for me, that You were buried, and that You arose again. And I ask You to come in and cleanse me from my sin. Beloved, He heard that cry of that young heart, and He came in. He sent His Spirit in. He'll do the same for you. Till next time.